Hey everyone, a huge weekend in sports is coming up, and if you've been looking for an online sports book where you can play all the games, then pull out your phone and Shazam this commercial right now using the Shazam app for exclusive offers from BetDSI.com. BetDSI is giving away a free $25 wager if you use promo code SBG25. Or simply just Shazam this commercial right now. You'll get instant access to register, play, win, and get paid on everything from football to reality TV. If it moves, DSI puts odds on it. So Shazam this commercial right now for instant access to BetDSI.com and get a free $25 wager on the house and 100% extra bonus when you deposit. Use your sports knowledge and love of the game to make some extra cash. Shazam now, or use promo code SBG25 to get your free wager and start winning today at BetDSI.com.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. With Cheers, you're going to start feeling better when you wake up. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell, here with you till 9:30. Raheel joins us at 9. A lot of stuff to talk about here. I just watching ESPN, and they asked the question, who won the weekend? And I think that's a pretty good question. Who won the weekend? Antonio Brown is obviously somebody who is in the running. Mike Mayock is in the running for what he has done and been able to do so far. I would say Francesco.
Well, what has Mike Mayock been able to do?
Well, he just got Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
But he just got Antonio Brown for a third and a fifth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty damn good.
Yeah.
And he was able
remember
to.
Remember, that wasn't. He's Coop, got, he wasn't there with Antonio.
No, Coop, no, not Coop, the Coop yeah. thing. Well, I'm not sure they won that. But anyway.
They got a first.
Yeah, they got a first for Amari Cooper, but you're looking for. Yeah. Well, they didn't use him. Amari Cooper looks like a first rounder.
They traded Amari Cooper for Antonio Brown, and they got a first and gave up a third. That's pretty good. On paper.
Right. Right.
On paper.
But
Cooper is a lot better.
Yeah, right.
Cooper's a lot better with Dak Prescott than Derek Carr. I'm sure Antonio Brown's going to do really well with Derek Carr.
That's what I was just saying, is that Amari Cooper looks like a first rounder.
Yeah.
He looks like that guy that you would want to pick in the first round. So I'm not so sure how big a win that one was. Antonio Brown was a big win. And everybody's talking about the $50 million and the $30 million guaranteed and everything else, but you had to pay him that. Because if you brought him in and he's unhappy, why the hell did you bring him in? So, he got a lot of money, and, you know, they have a lot of money. They've got a lot of cap room. I don't think they have a lot of cash, but they have a lot of cap room. And, you know, if you did this thing and dude walks in and he's unhappy with his contract.
Did you see how much he had left?
Yeah.
I mean, he had $39 million.
And now it's 50.
Yeah. This is kind of unprecedented that he renegotiated basically this early.
But again, why would you do it?
I'm still not sure all this is about contract. I think Antonio is just not 100% all there. All his stuff on the sideline, everything he does, I don't think this is all about money. I don't think he was happy with the Steelers, period. And I think he wanted out of Pittsburgh. But this is really, to me, this is as predictable as the Odell Beckham. You know, Odell Beckham, when they signed that big deal, the Giants is like, this is the dumbest thing ever, because you know that this is still going to go sideways. They're already trying to quietly listen to trade offers for him. Like, it was just, but Brown, I think, is going to be worse. I mean, Beckham is a younger player. He's just a little volatile on this, you know.
Oh,
he's always going to be volatile. Antonio Brown, I think, is going to really.
I don't think there's any question you're going to see at some point.
Oh, no, no.
Odell
no,
but it's going to pull a move.
Odell or Antonio?
Odell.
Yeah,
Odell is going to pull a move somewhere, something similar to this just to away.
No, 100%. But Antonio Brown, to me, is going to have major issues with Oakland, because he's not going to get along with Derek Carr. I mean, that's a lot.
No. Well, And we don't know that they're done, if you want to know the truth. I would not be surprised at all if the Raiders don't make a move for Kyler Murray. I would not be shocked at all if they aren't going to try to do something with those four picks, with the Cardinals, and especially if the Cardinals aren't convinced of Kyler Murray. It's a risk, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Raiders don't make a big move. Okay, so Antonio Brown is in the running. What about Francesco Molinari?
He's not in the running.
He was five down, and he came back, and a 60. Are you kidding me?
He's not
me?
On my run sheet.
Oh, Francesco Molinari's on everybody's run sheet. Del, Lance asked the question in the pre-show meeting, where you weren't. You were here, but you apparently were doing something else.
My question was, has anyone ever come from five strokes back in a golf outing?
Golf tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called a tournament.
Okay.
Del, do you leave the flag stick in now when you putt?
What?
Do you leave the flag stick in?
I didn't know either. That's a thing.
When you putt.
Is that a new term for taking a deuce? What do you mean?
No.
No, that's not dropping a deuce. That's got nothing to do with that. It's putting.
Yeah.
No, it's not exactly night putting. It's putting. And do you leave the flag stick in?
I wouldn't leave anything in a hole. It seems dangerous.
You don't. So you pull the flag stick out.
You should always do that.
You should always pull the flag stick out when you putt.
You should never leave the stick in the hole when you putt.
Well, see, now guys are feeling like, a lot of guys on the tour are feeling like you leave the stick in.
Well, that's a dangerous thing to do, John.
Well, I don't think it's dangerous at all. If the ball would hit off of it and carom off.
That's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
It's dangerous.
That's dangerous. You
shouldn't leave things in holes.
Why can't I ask a simple...
Because if you're going to start off a Monday morning with golf, I'm just going to take it in a different direction. Sorry.
All right. Okay, so there's that. A-Rod, do you think A-Rod maybe won the weekend?
Not if Jose Canseco has anything to say about it.
No, Jose Canseco feels like J-Lo lost the weekend.
Yes.
Well, I'm not 100% sure. I'm not on... It's rare that I'm going to agree with Jose Canseco, but you typically don't want to be on his side if you've ever seen him tweet.
No.
You don't want to be agreeing with him because that also means you're an alien conspiracy theorist.
Well, and?
But I feel like she did lose.
I feel like
she did lose.
He's been so chotch, but there's something that's going on there that she sits there at Sunday Night Baseball.
For those who don't know, they got engaged.
And you see The Rock.
And I remember, I'm sure it's substantial.
It's unbelievable.
The guy was making, he was one of the first like $20 million a year. Yeah. Guys, so $25 million.
He spent a lot of it on steroids, but yeah.
I didn't say that.
I did.
So,
he did. It's not accusation. He did. We all know that he did.
How do you know that?
He never
got suspended.
Yeah. No. Yes. What? He lost the year. What are you talking about?
Did he lose a year?
Yeah.
I get confused with all the baseball. I mean, I forgot. Well, now Rogers.
Remember
one
when
who
he
just...
was orange and he had to do the press conference? And yeah, I did, you know. Hey, remember?
But Roger didn't. But
Roger
A-Rod
never did.
I always get confused on who did, who didn't, because the Mitchell report, it was like everyone did, everyone didn't. Miguel Tejada did. Drayton knew about it. Blah blah blah. So A-Rod lost a whole year. I don't remember that. He lost a whole year.
Mm-hmm.
He was suspended a year for it.
Sealed list. Yes, I used steroids from fake. Performance enhancing drug cost me $40 million in a Hall of Fame. Yes.
Uy, coño.
Yeah.
$40 million. Yeah. It might have hurt the size of the Rock.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I think he had some money left over. But that's okay. But Jose Canseco says A-Rod is screwing around with Jose Canseco's ex-wife. So who do you believe? I don't know.
I won't spend too much time because we got something bigger to talk about. I will just say that one, I always thought that was never going to... Man, is that her?
Do you see that? Yeah. Do you see that?
I know. That's what I'm saying.
That's why she loses.
I just feel like I never thought that was actually going to like go down. I felt like that one would eventually go away. It's hard to believe that one didn't go away.
Oh,
and that actually
J-Lo loves love. The thought was Alex would be the one to back out.
Yeah, whatever it was.
He does. Why would he ever back out of a relationship with J-Lo?
Well,
because
she's been married.
Why would Alex Rodriguez want to get married?
Because it's J-Lo.
I get that, but Alex Rodriguez seems like we say that about Derek Jeter. Why would he back out of Micah Kelly?
Why wouldn't you just keep walking through the? Yeah. Why wouldn't you just keep walking through the Costco and keep having samples?
Yeah.
By the way,
if you're in.
Well, because you found the greatest food in the world.
Doesn't
okay.
Matter.
Why would you want to eat
something
else?
Well, samples are out.
John, you look, John. Because
well,
of your
I found the greatest food in the world, and I guess
well,
what
you have well,
that's mine every day.
Chris Paul said, not Chris Paul. What was it? Chris Rock. Man, a man is only as loyal as his options. You have less options than A-Rod.
That it. Listen.
Now, while it's typically
I have a
true,
theory. I have a theory
about
that.
Doesn't work for everybody.
There are old, fat, bald guys. That's immoral to have all those girlfriends. You know what? You should stay with one woman. That's because you can only get one.
Well,
that's right.
So he's saying what you're
what
so
saying.
Chris Rock is
that's
right. Chris Rock is dead on.
I feel so like not for us.
No,
not for us.
But listen, it's J-Lo that should be going. Yeah, A-Rod's great, but you know what? I'm gonna find something out.
But she used to date one of her dancers who was like 20
years
younger.
She married that guy. She married Mark Anthony.
Yeah.
She married Mark Anthony.
But Mark Anthony could sing. That's
well, this
why.
Is going to be her third marriage.
Baseball.
This is her third marriage, right?
It might be her fourth.
She didn't marry the. Did she marry the young dancer, too?
I think she's. This might be number four.
Oh, man. This thing is ending, too.
Yeah. I'm sorry. She's the one that should still be looking. And you know what? Say, you know what? I want to try that little thing at Sam's. You know what? You got another little dish over there I could try? Okay, Eric Gordon. Did Eric Gordon win the weekend or not?
Eric Gordon might have won the weekend.
Eric Gordon won
Eric
the
Gordon
freaking
might
weekend.
Have won the weekend.
Good Lord. Thank God for Eric Gordon. Otherwise, the Rockets would have scored 20 points last night.
Mm-hmm. Eric Gordon with 26 and the Rockets. This is, what, 8 in a row?
Yep.
Rockets on a run right at the right time. And I know people are going to try to pick at this and pick at that because that's turned into what Rockets – I don't know that Rockets fans do it. I just think Rockets – I don't want to call them haters. I think people who don't believe in the Rockets, whatever – Rockets naysayers. I think there's – why do you pick it? Why can't they win? I've never seen people – I guess we did with the Texans some too. But it feels like there's a lot of people who are picking at – why the Rockets can't. Why can't they? Why can't they? This is why they can't. Instead of looking at the Rockets right now, based on the way everything's going, the Rockets are once again in a position to challenge for an NBA championship. The same way they were last year.
Dude.
They're in that position again. Believe it or not, that's where they are.
They are, and you can say what you want, and Homer and all of this stuff. Golden State is playing like crap. Yep. They lost to Phoenix last night. They lost at Miami. They lost at Orlando.
No, they're playing.
They lost to a Boston team that was in tatters. They are playing. They're 4-6 in their last 10 games and playing. And this is after that Boston game. Steve Kerr says, okay, now it's time to turn it on. You know what? We have got to turn this thing around. We have got to. And lose to Phoenix.
Mm-hmm. What did they do? They got their ass kicked by Boston. Then they decided, you know, we're going to care. And they beat the crap out of Denver. I think that's what happened.
Right.
And then they're back to whatever they are now. I don't know what that's. Is it just a case of boredom? What is it?
No, this is not boredom.
Well, it tends to happen. I just know you look at all the runs. The Cavs struggled going to the playoffs last year, and they got to a finals. The Heat struggled getting. I don't know what it is. It seems like at the fourth time around, teams start to stop caring.
I think it is partly bored.
Time out.
I don't think you put
the Cavs in this because the East was so weak. Boston didn't have Kyrie or Gordon Hayward, and they still took them to seven games. I don't think the Cavs, last year's Cavs, out of the equation.
About making the finals.
I understand that.
Regular season, the way these teams go. They tend to – it falls off, like, into year four. It appears like we always question all these teams going into year
four.
The
Cavs actually weren't all that good, if you want to know. They weren't all that good. Right. If there was anybody that had any kind of talent in the East, they wouldn't have made the finals again.
I just feel like – I feel like Golden State – there's not one of us that thinks that Golden State won't show up in the postseason. Well, I think Golden State's going to show up in the postseason.
Oh, yeah.
So I think they are,
but I honestly don't believe that they're the same team that they've been the last 3 years.
You know, but we said that about the Rockets, and where are we right now with the Rockets? We know things change in a basketball season.
Yeah.
Well, Rockets are done. Rockets don't have a chance at winning this season. Rockets, and all of a sudden here we are saying Rockets are right there in the mix for winning a championship. I don't think it's outrageous to say Golden State right now is in the same position that, you know, we've seen them in only a little worse, but it's not because of, it's not due to lack of talent. I think Golden State right now is just coasting. And but it shows that, you know, this is not the same Golden State team we've seen in the past. Now, we said that about the – I remember saying that about the Patriots this year, too. And the Patriots won a Super Bowl.
Yep.
So that's the reality. This wasn't the same Patriots team, and yet there they are winning
the Super Bowl. But I could see at some point that light switch kind of come and bite you. And light switches don't –
oh, yeah.
Light switches don't bite normally.
Yeah.
This one could
come
back.
There's a lot of talent in that light switch.
There is.
And that light switch can shoot.
All right, it's 714 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. Our first break here. We got a lot to do. Don't you go anywhere. ESPN 97.5.
The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
Especially me, I can't be aggressive on both ends of the floor. I'm in the back of my mind, I'm conscious, keep thinking about it. That's what you got a team for. You know, Eric played really, really well tonight. Clint played well. PJ did an unbelievable job on Luka. And so it was a great team effort. Obviously, CP made some amazing passes, and that was a team effort.
Of all of the game, this was the one, this was the kind of game, this was the 30-point streak is over game. Because he still had the 28-point streak going. Even when he was really bad, he was able to score 28. Even, you know, he what was he last week? He had a horrific shooting game, and he still scored 35. I mean, the 30-point game, actually, he proved that, you know, 30 points can be gotten. He shoots a lot of free throws and whatnot. This was the definitive not-scoring 30-point game. He had zero chance of doing that. They did a wonderful job. How about Doncic blocking his step back?
Yeah, Rick, that's a long player. Rick Carlisle obviously is a great coach, has been for a long time. I mean, the story of this game was Chris Paul made a play at the end of the game, and Eric Gordon was the catalyst for winning the game. And this is something that it's really this simple. Early in the season when they struggled and you had your guys, and it wasn't for long, but when you had everybody and you were struggling, Chris Paul started off injured and then wasn't the same player when he got back, and Eric Gordon wasn't shooting. And you had James Harden, and that was it. Now you've got Chris Paul is definitely playing a much better brand of basketball, and Eric Gordon has been better. Gee, amazing what happens when guys who you need to score are able to score. It's night and day. Oh, our rim protector's back. Oh, the rebounder. Clint Capella, the trash man's back. I mean,
a PJ Tucker from the corner.
Yeah, it's look what happens when guys do their job, what they're paid for. It's amazing that the Rockets still have a good team, lo and behold. So that's really what it's all about. It's really all about making sure that you have the guys who are paid to do their job, which includes scoring, are actually able to score. And when Eric Gordon's right, this team is really tough, because you know James is the constant. Eric Gordon is the up and down one, and Chris Paul's the constant, but he has injury issues. We know PJ Tucker does what he does. Gerald Green is crazy Gerald. You don't know what you're going to get, but you need it's really to me. I mean, it's Eric Gordon, Chris Paul, Clint Capella, James Harden. And then the rest of the pieces you need to kind of fill in, be the Mario Ellie types. I guess one could argue maybe that's what Eric Gordon needs to be, but he's just such an important piece when he's scoring, and he's done a hell of a job of that here recently. He really has. And yesterday was great.
Yeah, no, they're playing better team. Well, everybody being healthy is really, really important. Now, and you still don't have Fareed. I mean, this is going to get better and better. And yeah, that's actually a guy that is going to play a role in the postseason. That is a guy, you know, because D'Antoni gets down to like, he actually wants four players on the court. I've got my team on the court, D'Antoni says, in the postseason. I don't want more than four players. So Fareed, when he's back, he's going to be a part of it. Crazy Gerald is going to come off the bench and do some stuff. P.J. Tucker from the corner, if he only takes four shots, that's fine because he's going to knock down three of them. Eric Gordon, this is a team that's really rounded with a 1 month. We're 1 month away from the end of the season.
The timing is just really, really good.
Really good.
And it's all about keeping Chris Paul healthy at this stage. And frankly, if you can get some rest for James, that would be preferable too.
And you can now. I mean, he had...
Well, let's see.
The refs helped him last night with five fouls in the first 2 minutes of the game.
Yeah, I just...
I was... Who covered last night? There was... I don't think that there was any question that when James gets his fifth foul driving to the basket in the... It was like, oh my God. The start of the second half, you're like, oh my God, are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. There was no question who the refs had last night. And they covered. That's all you had to do. That's all you had to do.
If Adam Silver hears you.
I wish that we knew before the game who the refs had. Because they clearly had the Mavericks last night. There was no question in my mind. And I think in everyone's mind.
That would have been a very popular opinion on Twitter if you would have been running with that.
It would have been a very... trust me, everyone, I didn't have to point this out. Everyone in the arena and watching on television knew this. The only thing... Okay, so on March 19th and 20th, they play a back-to-back at Atlanta and at Memphis. If Chris... Can Chris Paul please... Please, I know that they're shooting and they want to get to the second seed. I get that for playoff positioning. Would you care if Chris Paul doesn't play in that back-to-back and they end up as the third seed? Would this bother you in any way, shape, or form?
Say that again.
Chris Paul doesn't play in the back-to-back, but the Rockets end up as the third seed, not the second seed.
No.
That would be... That would be fun.
You lose your home court.
You lose
in the 2-3.
Well, and they're fighting. But the last time they played the back to back, Chris Paul played 34 and 31 minutes, and he's not even supposed to play in the second game.
Yeah, but he had some rest earlier in the season. Oh,
so you're okay with over 30 minutes each game?
You know what?
I'm
okay with Chris Paul knowing his body. But one thing I've found over the last couple of years. Is Chris Paul is acutely aware of where he is from a body type standpoint. He does a lot to take care of himself. And if Chris Paul thinks he's okay, because he wants to win a championship. I don't think he's going
to
put himself in harm's way.
You can't leave it up to Chris Paul. It's like any athlete that gets hurt. You can't leave it up to them. Okay, you know what, Lance? Just leave it up to Kevin Johnson. That's fine. You know what? Because you know what, just leave it up.
Feel like that's a great combination. I don't think that's a great comparison.
Well,
I
don't know if you've seen, but Chris Paul gets hurt just as often.
No, but Chris Paul,
he knows his body.
Chris Paul doesn't get hurt. Kevin Johnson's career is basically over. Chris Paul's played a long time. I mean,
and he never finishes
Chris Paul
a season.
Knows his body.
And
Chris Paul drinks bone broth,
and
goes
he never finishes a season.
I know, but he also plays more games than he's going to play this year. Typically as well. I think Chris Paul knows his body type. He's taken... Why would he not be
okay,
taking
back-to-backs?
Back to back he's taking back-to-backs off. Why would he not right
okay,
now?
Okay, you got a back-to-back from last night to tonight. Should he play tonight?
I don't know. Ask him.
I'm not asking him. You know why?
I'm not in position.
Because he's going to want to play. Every athlete wants to play.
Did he play all the back-to-backs last year?
Did he play in the back...
All the back-to-backs? I think Chris Paul knows whether or
not
he
should
or not.
That's right, and he ended up not finishing the season.
No, but he didn't play in back-to-backs all the time last year. Didn't he take a couple off at various points? You had Nene obviously can't play back-to-back or he would die. That's been established. I'm not sure Chris Paul played all the back-to-backs last year.
I don't know.
But Chris also missed time at a
And he...
But I know the plan was not to play back-to-backs. But I also think Chris Paul knows his body well enough that you can trust him about whether or not, where he is in a particular season. Chris has not been grinding for 82 games. This is not going to be an 82-year grind, 82-game grind for him.
When was the last time he had an 82-game grind? Well, but it certainly wasn't last year.
But he's had cut-ins. It wasn't to begin the season he didn't have it, and he had a separate cut-in.
He's got a back-to-back tonight. Ideally, you can't leave it up to players. You have to control that because they don't, and especially Chris Paul. He's so competitive, he's going to want to play every minute. He's going to say, I should play 40. I should play 48.
I don't know that Chris Paul is dumb. I don't think Chris Paul's dumb. I think Chris Paul is very, very smart. And I think he knows his window of opportunity is very, very small. I get what you're saying about competitiveness, but I also think Chris Paul is also more intelligent than you give him credit. I think if he thinks there's a possibility of him being out for the playoffs, I don't think he's going to put himself in harm's way.
Oh, well, again, I disagree. I mean, out for the playoffs, he wants to play. He wants to. I'll be fine. No, I'm fine. I feel good. Oh, there it goes. There it is. I ripped my hamstring off.
Do you know that Chris Paul is playing more minutes this year than he played the last 2 years?
That's great. That's awesome. After missing 90 games?
Yeah, he just finished his 43rd game, played 58 last year, played 61 the year before.
He's backing you up on that one.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. And he's playing more minutes. But he did. No, to your point, he missed all those games. But he's playing more minutes. It's just, I don't get it. The thought was when he came back, you're going to be careful with Chris Paul. We'll find out tonight. They got Charlotte tonight in an all-important game against Charlotte.
Well, Charlotte's desperate. Less desperate than the Rockets, clearly.
I don't think. Yeah. You know what? I mean, you're at home against Charlotte. It's a game that you probably shouldn't play him.
Yeah.
Because you feel like that's a win. I think you have to pick and choose based on your opponent. Look, to me, I want a 2-seed. I don't want a 3-seed. If you have a chance to get home court advantage against the Nuggets in the second round, you take it.
Oh, absolutely.
You obviously go for
that. But I don't risk Chris Paul's health to do it.
But I think against – if you have a chance to be – in this particular scenario, if you can't win this game without Chris Paul, if James Harden's wrist is okay, you know, behind the scenes, and it was the right wrist, right?
It was the right wrist.
Yeah, so it's not even a shooting wrist.
You don't even use that.
I mean, to me, you just
unless I don't know what he uses it for, but
for this one, I probably would just say, hey, let's sit it out. But there might be another matchup where I say, hey, let's try to get this one because every game is going to matter down the stretch. Yeah. And once you feel like you can't catch Denver, then you stop doing it.
729 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776. Like a startling sign.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. It's 7:34 on ESPN. This one says 6:34. I don't know if they know. We changed time.
Well, it's manual, so no one's going to go up there and do it unless
somebody's got to do it. All right. Where's the intern? Where's the coffee cake intern?
You shouldn't
intern?
Even be looking at that one anyway. That one's the one that...
This is the one on my computer I look
at. Or
that
one, too. That'll work.
735 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. How about some ups, big ups to the Cougs, okay? We waited 34 minutes to congratulate them for kicking the snot out of Cincinnati and winning the conference outright as opposed to a share of the conference. I had a talk with a coach. And he said, you know, after the loss to Central Florida, right. He said, man, it looks like, I don't know, we'll see what happens. But if they don't win the conference, man, it's just going to be so disappointing. And now they've won the conference and it's all good and it's not disappointing. I said, wait a minute. So, like, guess who else is having a disappointment? Duke, Kentucky, Kansas. they're maybe not Kentucky, Kansas, they were all having disappointing seasons. You know why? Because, oh, well, if the Cougs make the Sweet 16, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
Forget about it. They're a Sweet 16 team. You know, there are some, you know, granted, you want to win the, and they won the regular season conference. That's all fine and good. This has been a magical season for this. Man, you want to talk about a program that's turned the corner, exciting, new arena that is as good as any arena we have in this city. Probably now walking into homes and going, yes, I want to play there. I want to play for that team. Hopefully they can work out the deal with Kelvin Sampson. I know other schools are coming after him. But Tillman University is going to step up. I'm telling you.
Yeah, you're not worried about the finance. I had Sean Tears, a friend of mine, yep, and from the neighborhood, and he's a big U of H guy. And we went to wives and I, you know, we couples went out to dinner. We were talking U of H stuff. We happened to be at Post Oak, just having a drink at night in Tillman's place. And it came up that he said, you know what feels great? He's a big U of H supporter, huge. He said, I know for a fact we will never get beaten money again. Like, we may lose a guy to a more prestigious job. He said, I'm a realist. I understand that, you know, Tom Herman may go to Texas. He said, Tom Herman didn't go to Texas because of money. I mean, granted, Texas can offer more. But the point is, you will not lose guys necessarily because of money.
There is so far you can go. There is. I mean, and like, you will lose a guy to money for, well, but Kentucky's a different deal anyway, you know. But if a program really wants to, you know, there's a limit.
Okay,
there's
so a limit. I think what he, let me speak for him for one second.
In other words, you're not, I agree with him in this, in that you're not going to lose to
you're in the middle of everything.
Yes, you're in the middle. You're a player.
You're right in the mix.
You're a player.
Yeah, you're a power five player financially. Yes, is his point.
And actually, it wouldn't be surprised. I've seen an assistant coach that was offered as much as the highest paid assistant coach in group of five. So, and which is about midway through power five assistant coaches. So no, they're not scared. They're not scared of anything.
Right.
You still may lose out on, this team is going to pay $3 million a year, where you're got like, man, we can't go higher than 2.5, you know, but 2.5 is still ridiculously high. And here's the deal. You're in Houston. I told an assistant coach before, he was here during the summer years, and he was an assistant coach here and his family, and he was having a good, and he loved Houston, and you know, they were winning and it was all good. He couldn't wait to get to a power five. He was, every offseason he was trying to get to a power five school. And I finally said to him, I said, what are you doing? You're in Houston, you're winning, you're making money, your family loves it here. You've got, go see some of these big schools and the towns that they're in and see how much your family enjoys that.
That's the crazy part, is Houston is that rare opportunity. If it's about quality of life, you know, something that's interesting, my dad told me years ago after he made it to the NFL. He was with the, you know, for years, this was his journey. Abernathy High School outside of Lubbock to Lamar, Consolidated. Like, he started off as a junior high coach and high school coach in Lubbock. Then he went to Lamar Consolidated High School. He actually quit his job in Abernathy because he had written his goals down. He said, by the end of whatever year it was, I want to be at a 4A school. And so he just quit. He was actually a high school. He was like a head coach at Abernathy, but he quit because on his goal sheet it said he wanted. So he didn't even have a job. He just went in, you know, and he was young enough, and he just said,
That's some nuts.
He went in and quit without a job because on his goal sheet it said, this is what I want to be, a 4A coach. So he got the job at Lamar Consolidated, an assistant job, but he was at 4A because he followed his, you know, he's like, so that, you know, I was able to do that. And his next goal was to be a college coach by, I think it was 78. And he, sure enough, he got an assistant O-line job to, with Billy Willingham at University of Houston. It's like he was following his goal sheet was coming true. But so then he went, you know, from U of H to Tulane and University of Cincinnati, or World League, LSU, World League, blah, which became NFL Europe, blah, blah, blah. I say all that because he got to the NFL in 2001 with Butch Davis. It was his first year ever in the NFL, and he had gone through some bad college teams. Like, he had good success with U of H, and then it went downhill at the end. And, you know, he had some average to below average Tulane teams. He had LSU. He caught him at the wrong time with Curly Hallman. Cincinnati was okay, but it was middle of the road. Like, he didn't have this great, you know, these great teams. He got to Cleveland, and after about year three, you know, he was at Cleveland. He spent a year in Buffalo, Pittsburgh Steelers, won a Super Bowl, Arizona, and then retired, and then came out of retirement for Arizona Cardinals. You ask him his favorite time, his favorite season, one of his favorite seasons was at University of Cincinnati when they had this offensive line that really played together well. He thought the city was pretty cool. It was at U of H whenever he first started. None of his favorite moments, like, were coaching in the NFL. Because he had moments, and he really liked the stay that he had at Arizona. But it wasn't until he retired and came back to Arizona where he said he realized he started just coaching for the players. Mm-hmm. He didn't have the same pressure on himself. He wasn't trying to prove anything. And he said a lot of coaches make the mistake of thinking the grass is greener and it's always going to be better. But he said he was at his happiest a lot of times in college, where he's teaching guys and they're learning and there's less politics behind things. And it always reminds me, I just told my brother this. He didn't know if my brother would be happy going and being a GA to start off a college. You know, he said, honestly, I think if you have a good high school, a head coaching job in high school, sometimes that can be a really great job as well.
And I can tell you, knowing high school coaches, and they're all like, I gotta move up. Yeah. I gotta go. And I've seen some coaches just killing themselves to get to the next level, and
the money's gotten pretty good college too.
But the opportunities, whenever there's a job open, good Lord, it's the hardest business ever, because at the end of every season, it's unbelievable how many open jobs there are, but how many applicants. You ask any head coach how many calls he gets. It's thousands of calls for eight jobs. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. No, listen, this is an unbelievable place to be. And you got to stop that. It's always, college towns.
It's not always great in a college town. I don't romanticize it.
I told the story about a head coach who just got fired, and he was looking at different cities. He goes, I'm going down there. It's warm, and my family will like that place. And he took it over being in another place that would have made more money or been a bigger job or whatever it was. He said, no, I'm going where we're going to be happy as a family. Mm-hmm. And this is so important, and that's why I'm hoping, you know, we'll see. It's not done yet. Kelvin Sampson, it's still up in the air. He's got all the hand right now. Kelvin Sampson has got
– sure.
He has got – and people want Kelvin Sampson.
But, well, like you right said, now for some people it's about – it depends on what motivates a coach. If a coach wants to compete, if his idea is compete at the highest level, and the only way to do that is to get the very best players or whatever, and they may go to certain schools. But – and Tom Herman went to – you know, that's kind of a unique situation.
But no. But college football is way different. Look who's number one in the country. Gonzaga. You can't
you're
have
talking
that
in basketball.
Yeah, you can't have that in basketball. Yeah, I mean in football, but you can have it in basketball. University of Houston can get any player that any other school
can. It's still driven by the big dogs, though.
No,
and Gonzaga has been. Well, look, this has been building for quite some time.
University of Houston. When University of Houston was in the top 10, Gonzaga, Nevada, and University of Houston were all in there. Guess what? You can win. You don't have to be a Power 5 school to win.
You can win, but you don't. You're not going to get the players that Kentucky. You're going to have to build a different way. Gonzaga doesn't get the one and done.
Oh, nobody's going to get a Kentucky. And then listen.
You have to you just have to build a different way. It could be done, though.
There are three or four that get those guys anyway. Arkansas, Oregon, they don't get those guys. Just because you go to a Power Five school doesn't mean all of a sudden I'm getting one and done guys.
I'm not saying you're going to get them or a lot of schools get them. It's just that it takes time, much like Gonzaga took a decade, and then they got a better breed of player, and now they have players who get drafted regularly. U of H wants to do that. It's going to take time, and hopefully Kelvin Sampson wants to be Mark Few.
But, you know, I kind of agree with John. We'll do it here on the other side, but I kind of agree with you about that. When you think about it, you can be a mid-major and be a major factor, and maybe it's not Kentucky, maybe it's not whatever.
Butler.
But if quality of life matters to you at all, man, I just that's a serious thing. These big college towns, you know, these big programs, yeah, where they're housed, that's just a different quality of life. It's a lower quality of life if you care about anything having to do with theater, food, whatever it is that drives you, movie theater, things we take for granted.
There's more than that. Cliff was in a fishbowl in Lubbock. Now he's in Arizona. Granted, he's got a much bigger job, but he's in Phoenix where he can kind of get lost. Dana was in West Virginia where he was the biggest person in the state. Now he's in Houston where he can get lost. I mean, there's so much more to it.
If that's
just
what you want
to
do, yeah.
Yeah, but who wants to be where every
some
single...
Some people like that.
Yeah, right.
Juice.
Yeah, well, not
Nick
everybody.
Saban does.
Well, yeah, well, Nick Saban, but he's in Tuscaloosa. Yes, you're right.
Nick likes the juice.
Well, he wants to be the center of attention everywhere.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about Men's T Clinic. So you want to be the center of attention. One of the best ways to do that is to get back to that body type. Remember when you used to work out all the time and you used to see those results and you say, man, you're constantly firing up those throwback Thursday pictures on your social media so you can remind people, hey, man, I used to look like this in my bathing suit. I used to do it might just be a case that your workouts don't matter as much because your testosterone level isn't where it's supposed to be. And when your testosterone level is, then you're able to maintain lean muscle mass better. You're able to put on the good weight as opposed to the bad weight. The belly flab, that's one of the telltale signs that could be that you are low in testosterone because you just don't metabolize the same way. Men's T Clinic, they will show you all the different benefits you get from having your testosterone level where it's supposed to be. One of the things is libido. One of them is mental processing and cognizant thought. I mean, it just kind of clears up the head, frankly. And there are so many more. Go to menstclinic.com and find out what some of the symptoms are of low testosterone and what some of the benefits are from having your testosterone numbers where they're supposed to be. Treatments are easy. You're in and out. You're good to go. Why would you not go get tested and find out if that is the culprit for your malaise that is hanging over you right now? MensTClinic.com. 4 locations in and around the Houston area. That's MensTClinic.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
.651 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. Okay, so we said who won the weekend. What about who lost the weekend? Who lost the weekend? James Dolan?
I can't put Dolan, why, because he got in a fight with a fan, an argument with a fan, and threatened to ban him? If you should not be allowed to ban any fan for saying sell the team. They should have the right.
And that's all they said. It wasn't like, hey, booing, a-hole, didn't drop anything else.
Just like booing a team, no one gets banned from the state. It's when you cross the line. That doesn't cross the line. You're just mad and you're just trying to bully.
Well, I really believe this is going to bite. Not that, I mean, what this guy is just, he seems like he's Teflon. Everything he does turns to crap. He's the worst. Honestly, he might be the worst owner in all of sports. Is he? I mean, James Dolan has got to be right there, right? Dan Snyder. Are we missing somebody here? He's got to be the worst owner in sports. The Browns. Brown family, they've got to be really right up there, I guess. Mike Brown is one of the worst.
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, but I guess I don't know if we're missing somebody, but James Dolan is the worst.
Mm-hmm.
The worst. And, okay, James Dolan or Vince Young? Who lost the weekend?
Oh, Vince Young is ahead of Dolan.
But yeah, I guess.
No, it adds up. I think it's Vince Young. You remember now, Vince was on the heels of the DUI. I mean,
he's got two in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
He had a once a month job that he just had to show up for, and he didn't. Or he was late.
How bad do you have to be at your job to get fired from Texas when you're Vince Young?
It's almost impossible. You know, we had the Vince Young show. Well, we were going to at 790, and then Vince would just not show up. He's supposed to be in person at different locations, and then he would say, "I can't travel today. The weather's bad." Like, dude, what are you talking about? We've got apps. There's no rain in Austin. Are you kidding me? And he became such a problem with getting him to show up at all and on time that I think they canceled after two or three shows. One show, it was the Vince Young show, and someone else had to be on, like Casey Studdard. And they realized, this isn't what we paid for. Done. This is a chronic problem with Vince.
No,
this is a chronic problem. I mean, it's sad to me. University of Texas.
Well, I don't know. And listen, I don't know that anyone pissed away more, maybe Johnny Manziel, but anyone pissed away more out of just sure laziness than Vince.
It's true. That's the way it was in Tennessee. And you know, I know Longhorn fans like, it was Jeff Fisher.
No, he didn't study. He didn't work.
He didn't put the time in. David Carr didn't put the time in. Vince Young did. It doesn't matter. Yes, I think being with Jeff Fisher wasn't the greatest thing for him, but Vince didn't do what Vince needed to do. He did not have high football character, loved to play. And the same thing dogged him here. Here's what's been said. He was fired by the school from his part-time job as development officer for poor performance and often being absent from work or not in touch with the supervisors. Just show up. If your job is just – if you're Vince Young, let's just be honest here. Your job is just to show up. If you show up, they can't fire you. You know how bad it had to have been?
And it was like once a month.
Do you know how bad it had to have been for Vince to get fired? Do you think Texas wants to fire Vince Young?
No, and to put that out there, all of that. All right, who else lost the weekend? Well, Matthew Fitzpatrick, who had a 5-stroke lead over Francesco Molinari. Okay, where do you guys stand on this? What about Dell? What about this? What about every Florida State fan lost because Alex Hornibrook is their new quarterback?
Well, he probably...
No, I don't think he starts there.
No, I think James Blackman starts. Yeah. But the thought for Florida State Twitter was, it's a great move for Hornibrook. Do you know what type of he's going to get being the backup at Florida State?
No.
They're like, you know what happens for Caucasian players there? The type of
quarterback.
Quarterbacks.
Yeah, even though.
And he doesn't really play, but he's still on the team.
Yeah, no.
And he doesn't get hurt.
He won the weekend, actually.
He did win the weekend. He won the weekend.
He won the weekend. I don't think there's any question.
Yeah, shout out to Hornibrook.
713-780-3776.
John, you've been in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
He moves from Wisconsin to Tallahassee.
To Tallahassee?
The Southern Coeds.
Oh, my God. He just dropped about 40 or 50 pounds.
On average.
Yeah, per.
In the bars that he'll go to?
It's truly one of the most astonishing transfers I've ever seen. I mean, the weakest arm quarterback, one of the five weakest arms in all of football. And he's going like this. This is the most unusual. This is akin to, I would say, if Matt Harpering had left the Jazz back in the day and gone to the N1 mixtape tour, you'd have been like, "Why did not see this coming?"
Well, if the N1 mixtape tour had decided not to sign any players like Willie Taggart, he hadn't signed a quarterback in 2 years. That's what happened.
Horny, bro. Oh. Horny.
Well,
terrible.
Francois got booted. They only have one eligible scholarship quarterback on the roster.
Okay, where did Francois end up, by the way?
He's nowhere. They just
yeah, told but he's no, not no, in the no. draft, though.
They kicked him out of school. Yeah, he wasn't going to the draft.
The abuse thing.
The girlfriend.
Domestic
I know,
abuse.
But he's not. He's no not one, in the draft. He didn't
he
declare.
He didn't
either,
enter
did
the draft. He was on the. He was going to stay on the team, and then
who
they,
would
they,
draft him?
Oh,
him
it was
out.
After the draft
yeah.
deadline.
So, so okay, let's. You be the deciding factor on this. What is Hornibrook's nickname with his teammates?
I just almost don't feel like you can call him horny.
It's his nickname.
It's got to be.
How could it be anything else?
I know, it's got to be.
With a bunch of guys. He and Raheel are like, no.
I don't think at Florida State they're calling him that. Maybe in Wisconsin they would have because they corny.
No, but, you and Raheel both said that's not his nickname.
I haven't heard it anywhere.
Dude, have you ever been in a locker room?
Yeah, actually
his name is Horny.
Well, it's not Milo's not the one that, whoa, horny. Like, Milo would just take your last name and cut it off and put it in a
Or either that or he'd say Horny Brookie. He, but no, his nickname
Brookie
is not.
B.
He might have gone Brookie
B. It's the simplest nickname ever. What's that?
He'd be Brooksy in
yeah,
baseball.
You know what? Yeah, he's Milo would not call him Horny. He'd call him Brooksy. You're right.
No, he'd call him Brooksy.
Yeah.
Everyone in the locker room, his name's Horny.
Yeah, but he doesn't. He hasn't done anything to earn that nickname.
You don't know. Was he smashing?
Yeah, it's true. You know, well, yeah, I do. Wisconsin.
Group. He smashed Wisconsin's offense and
no,
probably every female. Okay.
Horny, make a throw. Wow. I mean, it was so unbelievable watching him play.
Even
he's going to FSU. He's going to get killed down there.
Their
he's going
line
down
is awful.
To Florida no, he, honestly, from Wisconsin.
Honestly, a Power 5 school and a good Power 5 school, he may be the worst thrower I've ever
what
seen.
What up, my bros? I can't wait. His first day in the locker room, I hope they cover it.
What do they call him, Sunshine?
Him?
Yeah.
They're not going to call him Sunshine.
No, he's not Sunshine. But
he didn't even get Sunshine status.
What if he's that dude, though?
He can't be that can't dude. Be. Just look
he's
at him.
He's from Westchester, Pennsylvania. Is that Eastern Pennsylvania?
He ain't Sunshine.
Where is that?
He ain't Sunshine.
No part of that is
759
Florida.
He's
made for that Florida life.
What's the deal with my brain? ESPN 97.5.